This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For up-to-the-moment Rhode Island news, follow at Bill Bartholomew on X.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
Maybe you just watched it, or if you haven't yet, I definitely recommend you do. The 60 Minutes profile of our former governor, now Commerce Secretary, of course, Gina Raimondo, Leslie Stahl there with a profile. And look, you know, even on a human interest level, it is definitely a nice nugget. It's one of the better 60 Minutes pieces I've seen in terms of a profile in a little while. And we'll get into some of the, you know, the behind the scenes a little bit, I guess, as much as we can offer here tonight. But you know what? This was somewhat anticipated, at least inside of the political class, so to speak, right here in Rhode Island. It's been buzzy since the teaser dropped earlier this week on social media. And frankly, this goes back even a couple of months ago. You may remember when they were filming this special at the State House, and there was a bit of a to-do about the fact that the Rhode Island press wasn't able to get anywhere near Raimondo and Stahl as they walked around the interview. They really didn't even touch too much at all on any of the major specifics of her time as governor or treasurer here in Rhode Island. And the use of, or I should say, the portions of the interview that took place at the State House were pretty minimal overall. But look, let's be clear about a couple of things. One, Gina Raimondo, you can make a case from a local level, certainly on a number of major issues here in Rhode Island, against her. And that is something that will be debated for all time. In fact, there are some things that, you know, I would say people on the left, people on the right, people who would consider themselves devoid of any real traits politically would find problematic. And that is part of the local Gina Raimondo legacy, if you will. We now know for sure that, at least in some part, the Washington Bridge phenomenon dates back to, at minimum, her tenure as governor, and certainly probably goes back even further. But some of the questions about management decisions, she appointing Peter Alviti. I mean, is that something you're going to nail her for at this point? No, but it's something that you definitely look at when you're talking about the Washington Bridge story as a whole and realize it runs directly through her. And of course, UHIP, of course, the cuts to pensions here when she was treasurer, all of these things, and you may even have the position, because believe me, we all know that there was a somewhat vocal, I was going to say minority, I don't actually know what it is, but there were people out there that thought that Gina was, you know, the devil because she closed the parks or had the lockdowns or the pause or whatever it was. So again, there are all kinds of reasons why here on a local level, you would look at Gina Raimondo and you would say, oh man, you know, she, I don't like her. But there's one thing that is for sure about Gina Raimondo. Whether you like her politics or not, whether you like some of her decision-making or not, there's one thing that's been absolutely clear, at least to me, and I'm sure many of you for a very long time, and that she is major league material. Major league material. And that's something that in covering her, especially during COVID, when I was with her pretty much every single day for almost 2 years, at times in really significant moments, watching her make or really announce decisions that she had made during that extremely challenging and touch and go time at the beginning of COVID. I mean, you got to think about that, what that moment was and how that response was. One thing that's clear and that was highlighted in this Raimondo piece tonight is that Gina's major league material. And so for all of those things that I just alluded to, you know, you want to talk about tolls, you want to talk about whether it's truck tolls, the assumed car tolls, you want to talk about the UHIP, you want to talk about pension cuts, Washington Bridge, COVID response decisions, you name it, putting her name on DOT project signage around the state. You can go through a list of big, little, local issues, and none of it matters in comparison to the profile that she has built and the reality of what Gina Raimondo in 2024 is. And she is so far beyond any of those issues, at least right now, and likely will stay there. And this profile shows that she has really risen in her own sense, but has also risen the Commerce Department to a level of relevance that I can't remember ever ever having that department be in. And that is because of her initiatives around chips and the perceived or very real, depending on the scenario, national security threat that can be around having almost all of our chips manufactured in Taiwan with a bit of a space race, if you will, around that semiconductor space between the U.S. and China. You can make an argument about it on any number of other just politico-level issues. I mean, let's be clear about it. She answered this question almost exactly how she answered questions from me and other members of the press here back in 2021. Take a listen to this. Pardon me, back in 2020. Take a listen to this.
You are on a list of future presidential candidates. Does that sound good to you? Is it appetizing?
What sounds good to me is being the best Commerce Secretary there's ever been.
One qualification for high office is being able to duck a question like that.
Governor, are you going to leave for the Biden administration? No, I think the only thing that I'm focused on right now is getting us out of this pandemic. You know the drill. Gina Raimondo right now is a national political figure. This piece will go a long way. And by the way, Gina has always been something that she has always been excellent at, and her team has always been excellent at, is getting her those national level major media hits. Whether you're talking about New York Times, Wall Street Journal, profiles, in-depth coverage, she has been very good at working the media, just like she's very good at working fundraising. I mean, she'd be in that state police SUV going from event to event and working the phones from a fundraising standpoint. Now, I know most politicians do this, but she was a machine at this. She knows how to operate the machine. She, in some ways, is the machine. Gina Raimondo is a national level figure, and you saw it tonight. If you didn't know it already, you saw it tonight in this 60 Minutes piece. I mean, I saw some people and heard from some people that said, oh, I wonder if they're going to bring up her role in the Washington Bridge. I wonder if they're going to bring up you. Are you kidding me? Leslie Stahl is not going to talk about, you know, those level of issues. Now, if she runs for president and this Washington Bridge thing goes further south and McKean, frankly, wants to stick it to her kind of as payback for being sidelined himself as lieutenant governor, you know, they really want to get, paint some kind of picture that she is responsible exclusively or extremely for the Washington Bridge, or, you know, you want to make the case of the municipal pensions, but the state pensions that were significantly impacted when she was treasurer. You know, those things could rise as talking points against her. But at the end of the day, look, this is a candidate who is in lockstep with the union. She's a technocrat. In other words, she's got an ability to float between the conservative business space and the sort of neoliberal space. She's got positions that some people would definitely, in a rubric test or a matchup with most actual Republicans, would say, well, of course, you know, on women's rights, on you name it, you name the social issue. She's going to check all the Democratic boxes a lot more than any Republican candidate. I mean, you saw tonight that this person is the future of this party, and it just clicked. You know, again, you can love her, you can hate her. One thing that is for sure is that Gina Raimondo is the real deal. I mean, she is the real deal. And I have known that since the first time I interacted with her and the eye contact and the whole deal. Did we know that she was going to go this far? Did we know that she would be a candidate for president in 2028 likely? Maybe. And what you can definitely say in my reaction to this thing tonight, again, is you just got to remember where this person is at right now. You as a consumer of politics have got to make a decision of sorts. You've got to decide, what can I forgive? What can I forget? And what am I comfortable living with? You know, what am I comfortable living with in terms of that legacy, if you want to cheer on Gina Raimondo? Because you know what? At the end of the day, she has moved into a lane where the details of her time as treasurer and governor, especially those which are negative, with a PR machine, a donor machine, and a brand presence, and a national and international profile, All of that stuff, all that chatter about her shortcomings as governor are definitely not going to rise to the next level. She has outshined and outperformed all of that. And, you know, Gina Raimondo, look, you know, let's be honest. The Raimondo Alumni Associate Network is huge in this state. I mean, just take a look at the political figures. Gabe Amo, he came out of the Raimondo Alumni Network. Brett Smiley, he came out of the Raimondo Alumni Network. Stephen Pryor, Housing Secretary, Raimondo Alumni Network. Quasi-alumni network through Point Judith Capital would be Seth Magaziner. All right, it goes on and on and on. And if you look at the adjacent with Helena Folks, and who many would see as Gina 2.0 coming in, so much of the fundraising, even the governmental piece of the Raimondo Alumni Network is with Folks. You know, as they kind of square up with that Blackstone Valley mayoral peer group faction for control of Rhode Island politics. So Gina, her fingerprints remain all over our local politics. Her influence is still here in terms of personnel, in terms of process, and in terms of legacy. All right, let's be clear. In terms of legacy, no doubt about it. But just like there were only, 30 seconds of Gina at the Rhode Island State House and maybe 20 seconds total of conversation about her time with any level of specificity as governor. She is way past this. And you are basically yelling at the clouds if you're screaming about some of the things that you had a personal problem with Gina Raimondo as governor. Because the machine that she is and has been plugged into has found a way to successfully not only navigate those, but completely mitigate them. Will this come up? Will some of these things come up if she's a real presidential candidate in 2028? Probably. But on such a micro level that they'll be dismissed, swatted like flies. And the question will be, really, at that point in time, where does a Gina Raimondo, how does Gina Raimondo perform in swing states against whoever the perceived, is it Nikki Haley? Is it somebody we don't know yet? What is that perception? That'll influence a lot of people in terms of decision making and who really gets the push. Now, obviously, there is going to be a primary. There'd be a vote. But everybody knows somebody's going to get a push. Somebody's going to get a bump in that period. Somebody's going to get that bump. And I would say Gina Raimondo is leading right now. Way more than Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, somebody that you've never heard of before, whoever. Gina Raimondo is the leading candidate for president in 2028. And I thought it was a good profile. You know, Leslie Stahl, I've never met Leslie Stahl in my life. You know, obviously a lot of us have been watching it. Watching 60 Minutes, watching her for years. I did have the opportunity to learn a great deal and work hand in hand with her former executive producer at Rhode Island PBS when I was there for a couple of years. And I have definitely learned about the ethos and approach and thought process and preparation that goes into a Leslie Stahl interview. And you could see that there. Her understanding of the answer or likely answer to the very question she was asking to create a dynamic flow and create some level of pushback. This was not a pure puff piece. And that's because you have Leslie Stahl sitting there doing it. There's a lot of people who, if they conducted the very same interview and the Raimondo team, the commerce level team, the brand level team, the person herself, had their way, would have had that interview go somewhat differently. But that was a very well done interview by Leslie Stahl. And don't give me, she didn't ask about the truck tolls. Nobody cares about the truck tolls or any of that business anymore. That's what you need to understand about Gina Raimondo. All the grievances that people have had for the last 10 years, get over it because they don't impact her political future in any way, shape, or form. Maybe if the bridge goes south and you can pin something, if somehow this forensic report and the Wistow Savage investigation and the Federal Highway investigation, if all that comes back with something, maybe there's a concern of a minimum nature over there. But your former governor right now is positioned to be a future presidential candidate. Mark my words. And you would have been able to say this before the 60 Minutes piece. It's not like, okay, great, we watched 60 Minutes and now all of a sudden we know Gina's, you know, a major player. She's been a major player the whole time. They were running tape at those COVID pressers. And as I understand it, they were sending them to the Biden administration. They thought she had a real shot at vice president. It probably didn't help that she endorsed Mike Bloomberg early on in that campaign cycle. They thought, and fairly so, that she had a shot at VP. They thought she had a shot at Treasury Secretary. And they were running tape, and that the presentation at those COVID briefings was completely crafted around selling a brand. That's what you saw every day when you went in there. And it's a high level brand. Now, we're in a moment where we're seeing a resurgence of a certain type of populism, right? Globally. And if you watch with this year and Trump, and the fact that that guy still has any reasonable, appreciable base of support, you know that there's a populism flavor and dominance in aspects of our country right now. A Gina Raimondo, Rhodes Scholar, multi-Ivy League, Northeast governor talking about semiconductors, wearing a perfectly selected pantsuit and blouse and perfect hair and the whole topped about the whole package. Maybe the last thing that a huge chunk of this country wants. At the same time, there may be a yearning for a level of sophistication that whether or not you believe she has it, she is able to sell. That's the big question. And how would she match up theoretically in swing states in a populist versus, you know, if let's put Haley in there, you're going to have the first female, the first woman president. And it could be either Haley or Raimondo. And what's that matchup look like for the random person that doesn't know a thing about ideological views, couldn't tell you, couldn't care less about transportation, climate change, or anything like that. Oh, they couldn't care less about any of those. They have a borderline no news diet whatsoever, or only entertainment media type of diet. What does that person think of a Raimondo in a hypothetical matchup? That might be the one thing that works against her. And Democrats might realize that that's not an option right now. But she's 52. Look, it's a weird thing around here. If you're progressive, many of you are going to be anti-Raimondo. If you are Republican, many of you are going to be anti-Raimondo. If you're somebody who considers yourself a political independent from the standpoint of trying to fight against the system, you are definitely against her. And if you're part of the business class, if you're part of the influencer class, if you're part of the public relations industry around here for the most part, and if you're a part of the labor unions, you love her. And guess what? She has found a winning coalition. Because like I said, you are not going to vote uncommitted over truck tolls or a role in the Washington Bridge that is de minimis at the end of the day, or even the pensions. And the whole country definitely wouldn't react to it. So the idea that Leslie Stahl is going to show up here in Rhode Island with 60 Minutes and they're going to dig through old newspaper articles or old talk radio hits and try to figure out all the grievances that locals had about the Gina Raimondo is ridiculous. And I think a lot of people wanted that tonight. They wanted to see, oh, Gina got, they confronted her on these random issues that, although we're serious, and by the way, the pension situation is no joke, right? The pension reform situation remains no joke to a lot of people. And you can say, well, you got to make tough choices. That's fiscally conservative, venture capital, cutthroat type of mindset. However you want to frame it, it happened. But it was a decade ago, more than a decade ago, right? It was a decade ago. Hey, you can say anything you'd like, but the fact is, Gina Raimondo is an A-list player. It was a grand slam, straight out of the ballpark. I can't remember exactly what they said. Someone said something to that effect on Twitter right now. Totally true. And her relationship with the donor class, she is a huge hit with the NPR, New York Times, 401 gives, they're gonna put in $50,000 on that day into their chair. That class attend the fundraisers, not the rubber chicken. I'm talking to the university club, not the Washington County Fair. Stand there and smile. I'm talking about the fundraiser at some mansion on Bellevue Avenue or on Blackstone Boulevard. That crowd loves her. And if you have a problem with that, that speaks to a much bigger political system issue that we talk about all the time on here. I'm not here to say, I'm not here to, either way. As far as I'm concerned, in 2018, August 18th, 2018, maybe it was the 19th, Gina Raimondo and I met for the first time at a political barbecue event that I was at, hosted by Sheldon Whitehouse. I was at that. And I approached Gina Raimondo and I asked her if she would appear on my new podcast, which I had just started. And she gave me a handshake agreement that she would. And Gabe Amo, who was then her, what was he, chief of staff at that point, spokesperson, some body person. Actually, I met Gabe that day as well. He gave me his card and said, oh, we'll set it up. We tried setting it up. Never happened. Got kicked down the road. Next thing you know, COVID's here, and there was no expectation at that point, of course. We were there every day. But as far as I'm concerned, Gina Raimondo, after Leslie Stahl, should have stopped by the loft. We'll see if that ever happens. Maybe it will. Maybe I'll meet her somewhere, and our paths will cross somewhere down the line. You never know how things play out. I just get a kick out of the idea that we moan and groan so much here in Rhode Island. And look, I don't want this to be perceived as I'm here telling you that Gina did nothing wrong and that she was the best governor ever and whatever. There were problems and there was a delivery that offended or at least annoyed a lot of people, especially those of us who, at times felt like we were being talked down to. I get it. But you know what? She's the real deal. You will not find in this country right now where we are literally putting up Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump against Joe Biden, a man who, from the outside looking in, does not appear to be in any way equipped to continue on with the job in a meaningful way. Maybe he is. Just from a layperson's standpoint, and has made horrific decisions on certain policies that impact other parts of the world, against a Donald Trump. That's your matchup. And you take a look at Gina Raimondo, and you go, wow, that's a different level. And it makes you think, can she run this time? Busy week ahead. Tomorrow, Patrick Anderson, Providence Journal, joins me. We're going to break down his in-depth reporting on the Washington Bridge. A lot more to come. It's Bartholomew Town. Thanks for listening.